Good morning again. Those here, those joining us online. And happy Father's Day to those of you to whom it applies. A couple of people have remembered and mentioned it's Tony's first Father's Day. And I was thinking on that actually a little bit this morning that, you know, Libby got baptized this year. And so her being reborn, I feel like it's a new Father's Day for me too. So, but we all share our Heavenly Father. And we're here today to gather and sing praise to His name. We'll continue our series in Deuteronomy. And we're coming up on the end of what Moses has to say here in chapter 30. So we're coming, this is at the very end of his third sermon in the book of Deuteronomy. So let's look together. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 20. Surely, this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?" No. The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I noticed looking back up at the beginning of this when Moses is saying, it is not in heaven that we need someone to go get it for us. It's not in beyond the sea, so we need someone to go get it for us there. That he's talking about this commandment or this word from God. But I noticed that there's this connection, you know, many generations later, David wrote something similar in the Psalms. And so I'm going to read just a bit from Psalm 139. It's a pretty well-known passage. But he says, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." And so, you know, it's this meditation. I just noticed the connection because of the two distant spaces are up in heaven and beyond the sea in both instances. But whereas Moses is saying the word is close to us, what I see from this psalm is that what's being told to us is not only is God's word close to us, but God himself is close to us. God himself is near us no matter where we are, no matter where we go, no matter how far away. We are always in his presence. And so we gather together to praise him with that acknowledgement that we're in God's presence. We're gathered around his table and we're gathered with his family. So let's say a prayer together. And our prayer comes from a hymn writer, a British hymn writer from the late 1600s. His name is Thomas Ken. And you'll see that he must have been meditating on our passage in Deuteronomy when he wrote this prayer. So let's bow together. Blessed be your name, Lord God, who has set before me life and death and has invited me to choose life. Now, Lord God, I choose life with all my heart. I choose you, my God, for you are my life. Lord, make me completely holy, that all my spirit, soul, and body may be a temple for you. Live in me and be my God, and I will be your servant. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as a father, a couple of words that you have in your toolkit that you have to use very often are listen and look. So I would say, for example, listen to what your mom's telling you. That's probably the most often what I get to say. Or listen for Claire when she wakes up and then come and get us because we're outside working or something. Often at the table, we're all trying to talk over each other, so we'll have to say, wait. Sam was trying to talk. Let's listen to him. You know, he's got a story that he wants to tell, so we got to get everybody else quiet. And his story is about activating Falcon powers and swooping down and attacking Daddy. So that, I mean, we all need to hear that. And then, what was the other one? Look. So I might say, you know, look at all the toys on the floor in your room. Use your eyeballs because mine aren't the only ones that work in this house. So I know you can see them too and you pick them up. Or, you know, look how I'm going to pull this nail out with a crowbar. Libby was helping me pull some nails the other day working on our barn. Or look at how Todd took this green and blue marker that was left out on the table and drew all over his legs and arms. I thought it looked kind of cool, but we had to clean him up. Listen and look. You get to say that a lot as a father. And I noticed that when I'm looking at Deuteronomy, although as we've acknowledged already, God is our Heavenly Father. And even to the Israelites, if you said, who's the father of this nation? They may have looked back to Abraham. But all through this book, you see, Moses is really functioning as an earthly father to this whole nation. And he's using those same words very often. In your Bible, like mine, the words used rather than listen and look are hear and see. But you can see it's the same idea. So I think six different times throughout Deuteronomy, Moses says, hear, O Israel. I'll just read through some of them. Hear, O Israel. This is from chapter 5, verse 1. These statutes and ordinances, you shall learn them and observe them diligently. Chapter 6, verse 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently so that it may go well with you. 9, verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are about to cross the Jordan today to go in and dispossess nations larger and mightier than you. Know that the Lord your God is the one who crosses over before you as a devouring fire. Hear, O Israel, in chapter 20, verse 3, today you are drawing near to do battle against your enemies. Do not lose heart or be afraid or panic or be in dread of them. In 27, verse 9, keep silence and hear, O Israel. This very day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Then he says, see, four or five times. Let me read some of those. Chapter 1, verse 8, he's actually quoting God saying it at the very beginning. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession. 1 verse 21, Moses says, "See, the Lord your God has given the land to you. Go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Chapter 4, verse 5, "See, just as the Lord my God has charged me, now I teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you're about to enter and occupy." And then 11, verse 26, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments, the curse if you do not obey, but turn away and follow other gods that you have not known." Listen and look, hear and see. And you may have noticed I left the most important one out. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And so Moses is telling them that's the most important thing to hear. That's the most important thing, is to know who God is and to love him with all of your being. And I think the most important moment when he says, "See," is in our passage today. It's at verse 15 when Moses says, this is Deuteronomy 30:15, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." And that's very often just in these statements here about when it starts with "see," the next phrase is, "I have set before you." I have set before you the land. I have set before you a blessing and a curse. And here where he says, "I have set before you life and good, death and evil." Or some versions say life and prosperity, death and adversity. And it's going to be your choice. You can really hear the paternal attitude that Moses has toward them, right? He's trying to give them this good, godly advice. He knows that he's not going to be around much longer. And these are his very last words besides a song that he's going to sing in chapter 32. And so these are sort of his parting words to the whole nation. And he already knows, as any father does, that you're going to be met with excuses for why you can't hear or why you can't see. And so that's what he does at the very beginning here in chapter 30, verses 11 to 14. He's addressing some excuses that he knows he's going to hear from them. "Surely this commandment that I'm commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It's not in heaven that you have to ask someone to go up to heaven and get it for you so that you can hear it and observe it. It's not beyond the sea so that you say, let's send somebody over the sea to get it for us." So these are the excuses. "I don't have the access to God's word." And he said, that's not true at all. This actually follows from a statement just earlier. We didn't read it yet today, but it's the very last verse in chapter 29. So he said this just before. So this is chapter 29, verse 29. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever to observe all the words of this law." So on our passage here, he's expounding on the second part. So he says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. In other words, we can't fully grasp God and how he thinks and everything that he has in mind and everything about his will. There are some things that are secret from us and they belong to him. But God has revealed plenty. And that's what he's saying in the second half of that verse. God has revealed much to us. And he says, and this has been given as a gift to us and to our children so that we can observe them. Now, this just got me thinking about how amazing of an age we live in when talking about access to God's word. It was not very long ago, just to be a student of church history for a moment, not very long ago that people were being killed for translating the Bible into the vernacular language, like to be translated into English. William Tyndale was burned at the stake for doing that. And in the great scheme of things, that wasn't that long ago. A few hundred years is not that long. But today, if you're like me, and I bet you are, you have multiple paper copies of the Bible at your home on some shelf. And even if you didn't have paper copies, you can get online and you can find any translation that you want to. It's out there. And it might, and if you've got a phone and a smartphone in your pocket, you've got God's word right there all the time. In fact, when I got up at the beginning for the call to worship, I forgot to bring my paper Bible, but I had my phone right here, so I just read that psalm from my phone. I always have access to it, and so do you. And so that can't be an excuse that we don't know what God wants us to do, or we don't know what he has said, or we don't understand his will at all. Well, he's revealed all of it that we do need to know, and we have full access to it. So we don't have to send someone to heaven. We don't have to send someone beyond the sea, get it for us. Moses says, no, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Now, that's even closer than your pocket. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Okay, back then when they didn't all have their own copies of God's word, and he's telling it to them for the first time. He does write all this down later, it tells us in chapter 31. But he said, this is how God puts his word near you. It's in your mouth. He may be describing there just a bit earlier in this ratification ceremony, they've said, I do to all the terms of the covenant. And so even they have spoken their end of the covenant, saying, yes, we enter this agreement with you. Another thing that's very common in Deuteronomy is take this word and pass it on to the next generation. And so in that sense, it's also in your mouth as you go about teaching God's word to other people. But of course, the very closest it could possibly be is in your heart. And it's interesting, you know, that Jeremiah says much later as a prophet, there will be a new covenant coming where God writes his word on your heart. And Paul picks that up in 2 Corinthians as well, talking about the new covenant being written on human hearts, not on tablets of stone. But here Moses is able to say that long before to the Israelites. God's word is in your heart. So there aren't any excuses that work, as hard as we look for some sometimes. At verse 15, he says, and I quoted this earlier, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And he goes on to say, it's a matter of the choice you make with your heart. And so that's the next, after far or near, we have love or turn away. How is your heart going to be oriented toward God? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, or you will not listen, but you are led astray, and you bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Moses is talking here, on the one hand, about physical life and death. He said, you're physically going to go into this land. You'll physically live there a long time if you obey God. But if not, you will perish from the land. And so he is talking about physical life and death. But it's also, it's this orientation of the heart that we know later is all about spiritual life and spiritual death as well. Meaning that you can choose life or death every day. It's not just in your very last day on earth that you are choosing life or death. Every day you're choosing whether to follow the path of life or follow the path of death. And you get faced constantly with decisions like that. I think I said last Sunday night that I've often wished that you could just flip a switch, like if baptism worked like this, where I'm just, yes, I say yes to God, I want to follow His will, so I'll die to myself and I'll live to Him, just flip a switch and it's done. But it does not work like that. I got to keep making that decision every day. I don't keep getting baptized over and over, but I have to make the decision and learn to live a baptized life every single day. And in verse 19, Moses says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. So that's the final comparison here. Dave, could you forward that for me? Life or death. And I find this interesting. He calls heaven and earth as witnesses. You know, in some states, this is not the case in Maryland, but in Arkansas at least, when I would do a wedding, you'd have to have witnesses sign the wedding certificate, the marriage license. And so you'd, obviously the bride and groom both sign it too, the minister signs it. But then you have usually the best man and the maid of honor are signing as witnesses to this covenant. And that's what Moses is saying here. But look who the witnesses are, heaven and earth. I'm calling all of creation to hold you accountable to this covenant that you've just entered with God. Well, that's pretty amazing to think about that. All creation is witnessing our faithfulness or unfaithfulness to our God. And then again, he does say here, he said it in verse 15, he's saying it here again in 19, I'm setting before you life and death, blessings and curses, so choose life. You know, a couple of months ago, I had a moment that probably didn't look like much from the outside, but I know that it will be a time that I look back on as a great moment as a father for me. Probably because I remember my father doing this kind of thing with me. And that is talking to your son when he's in trouble and trying to communicate what's going on and helping him think through it. So, you know, we live on a road. It's not a real busy road, but we don't have a huge front yard between our house and the road. And so the kids love to drive their bikes and other little vehicles on the driveway. And there's a certain imaginary line. Don't go too close to the road. And of course, the older ones know that. But Todd is 2.5. Okay, so he's learning. He's starting to go push his boundaries a little bit. And so we found out that he had had gone past our imaginary line, and he'd gone past the real line, the white line, got on the road for a moment. Our neighbors told us that they'd seen him out there. And so, you know, Alicia found that out. She let me know, and I know that she talked to him too, but I picked him up later on, and I walked to the edge of the road where the white line was. And he's getting to where he can repeat pretty much anything you say now. But even just a couple of months ago, he wasn't talking quite as much. But he understood what I was saying to him, I'm sure. And I said, what goes by on these in this road? And he knows it's cars. Cars go by and big trucks go by. Yeah, so Todd, you can't cross this white line right here. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And he was very solemn for this whole interaction. Like, yeah, and I think it really, he did understand what I was saying to him. Of course, you're going to have to watch him 20 minutes later and the next day and for the next year to make sure he's continuing to follow that. But later on that night, that same night, I was talking with Sam, and he's 4, and he had gotten in trouble as well. And this is the moment I'm really talking about, is when I was spending this time with Sam. Because in that situation, Alicia and I had to impose a consequence, which was going to bed early. And so I was sitting in his room and talking with him about why parents have to give consequences to their kids. I said, I'm not mad at you. We're not mad at you. We love you. But that's very hard to understand. It's hard for us to understand as adults. It's hard for a child to understand. You're being punished because your parents love you, not because we're mad at you. And so I said, so, you know, you're going to bed early, but you can read this Bible. And I gave him a children's Bible, so a picture Bible. So even if you can't read the words, you can look at these pictures. I know you know these stories. The first picture we turned to was a little boy with a rainbow-colored coat on, and he knew that was Joseph. I said, okay. So, and then he said, or Adam and Eve. I said, yeah, or Adam and Eve. So we flipped to that page, and we looked at that, and that gave me an opportunity to talk even more about this. And I'm going to show you, I took a picture of the page that Sam and I were looking at. It's titled A Sad Day, and it tells about the fall in the Beginner's Bible, this picture Bible. And so it was this picture over here on the right, and the next slide, I have it zoomed in a little bit. And so that you can see what Sam and I were looking at. And I thought it was a great illustration of what I was trying to say to him. So it was really cool. It just so happened that this worked out like this. But I said, you know, you see how this is, and he knows the story. But I said, in the pictures, there's a hedge built around this tree in the center. Why did God not want them to eat from that tree? Because they would die. It would hurt them, and he loved them, and he didn't want them to do that. And then I told Sam what had happened between me and Todd earlier. I think he sort of knew about it already. But I said, you know, what if Todd crossed that white line again and got hurt? What if he crossed it again and didn't get hurt? Mom and I would still have to impose a consequence, right? We would punish him for doing that. Why? Would we do it because we're mad at him? Absolutely not. We do it because we love him so much and we don't want him to get hurt. We want him to have life. We want him to live. We want him to have an abundant life. We want him to have eternal life. And that's exactly what God's doing. And it's hard for us sometimes when we read the Old Testament, it sounds like God's wagging his finger at us and telling us everything we've got to do. But what you're able to see, even here, you see Moses' heart. I think you see God's heart coming through Moses and the way he's appealing to them. Look, you've seriously got this choice between life and death, and I'm appealing to you. Please choose life. Please choose life. So that you and your descendants may live. Love the Lord your God. Obey his voice and hold fast to him. And this is in the middle of verse 20. It says, for he is your life. For he is your life and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And that's how Moses ends his third sermon to the nation of Israel. God himself is your life. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Like Jesus saying, I am the way, and the truth and the life. And I come as a good shepherd to give you abundant life. But the place I especially think of with Jesus that compares to what Moses is saying here is in Matthew 7, toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. A couple of different things that he says there. First, he lays this choice before them between these two paths. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. But the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I set before you life and death. Choose life." And he says at the very end of his most famous sermon, "Everyone then who hears," see, he's still saying, hear and see. And if you have ears to hear, you'll follow what God is saying. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be a fool." And so today we're faced with the same choice. Life and death placed before us because we chose to cross that hedge and grab the fruit off that tree. We choose to disobey God so often, and when we're doing that, we're choosing death. But that opportunity is ours to choose life because God came here, gave his own life. He experienced death for us to give us this eternal life. And he's begging as a father, appealing to you, choose life. Hear my words. See my son on the cross and choose life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so privileged to be able to call you by that name because you've called us sons and daughters. And you've brought us into your family through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful, God, that you offer us life when so often we choose to go our own way, we turn away from you, we turn after other gods, including ourselves. We put ourselves on the throne. And each time we do that, each time we rebel against you, it's just, we're just choosing death. We're choosing to cross into the road and tempt, to just see if, will we survive? Will this be pleasurable? God, I don't know why we do that, except that we have wickedness in our hearts very often, but we also have something else in our hearts, and that is your word and your presence, your voice telling us, don't go there, it'll hurt you. Go here instead. This is the way to get to life. And so we just ask that you would tune our ears to be able to hear your voice, and that we see what your motivation is. You're telling us to love you, but the whole point is that you love us. And you've shown that love for us in Jesus Christ most clearly. And so God, help us to choose Christ, to choose to obey, to choose love, and to choose life. And we pray it in his name. Amen.